What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Dress Down. Today, our guest is here, born and raised in Hawaii, and you may recognize some of his voiceover work as Gyoko in Demon Slayer and Costas in Fire Emblem Warriors, Brent Mukai.
Yeah.
Clap it up in your cars. Don't clap in your car. Don't get into a car wreck, but, you know. I assume most people listen to this in the car. I feel like that's podcast.
Yeah. In the car, while they're working on something.
Yeah.
But I have been told driving to and from work pretty often.
That's where I do all my podcast listening.
Yeah.
So don't clap your hands. Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Clap them internally.
Clap them at a red light.
Yes. Wait until a safe spot to clap and then clap.
Yeah, and then clap.
Yeah, or one hand on the thigh.
Oh, I do like that.
Yeah.
I do like a good thigh clap.
It's kind
clap.
Of like a gentleman, elegant little.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you about your life and career.
Okay.
Yeah. I have my notes here.
Sweet.
Thanks to your beautiful, lovely wife.
Yeah.
Who knows everything about you.
It'll be funny if she got stuff wrong. That would be the funniest.
You know what, actually?
I'll have to call her up.
We will. So you are originally from Pearl City, Hawaii.
Yes.
And you moved to Las Vegas in 2007.
That's correct.
What were you going to school for?
Acting. Well, I originally was like, I'm going to be the next Seth Rogen, and I'm gonna write and do that, and then maybe I'll act a little bit, but I was too afraid to like say I'm going for acting. And then after like a semester, I was like, I took an acting class and I was like, nah, I'm hooked on this. I want to be an actor.
Is there a taboo around that, would you say?
Not a taboo, I guess. I don't know. Like, I'm Japanese, so it's like the Asian parents thing, even in Hawaii, still like is a thing. So it's like they're like, yeah, you're gonna grow up and get like a real job, right? And it's like,
and you were like, improv comedy and acting.
I was like, I don't want to do that. Maybe I can convince them that I'll go to film school. That's how I convinced them. I went to film school.
I'm gonna write,
you know, there's so many credits at the end of the movie, and I could just be one of those guys if I'd never get anywhere with the writing stuff. And then after a while, I was like, I just want to act. Mm-hmm. I want to make that come true. It just felt right in my soul, you know?
Yeah. Well, what was your like original nerd hyperfixation, which would you say? Like, were you more of a like anime guy, a comic book guy?
I'm too ADHD for any one thing.
Uh-huh.
From the time I was a kid, I mean, you know, you watched like Pokemon and you watched like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z and whatever, and you didn't know that it was like anime, Yu-Gi-Oh, right? Like, I was watching it, but I was also watching like all of the classic cartoon stuff that was coming out at the time, you know, like all of the Teen Titans. And I was a huge fan of like superhero stuff, like DC, especially the Bruce Timm, the Batman, the animated series, Superman Adventures, and the Justice League. So I watched it all. Like, I just loved cartoons and I loved video games. I would just play so many video games. A lot of times I would play the games, but then I would be like playing on my Game Boy and then like have the cartoons on in the background.
Right.
I was just like soaked in nerddom. Yeah.
From all sides.
Yes.
Do you have any video games or anime or TV shows from your childhood that are your absolute favorites still to this day? Like, if you see the merch at a con and you're like, my thing.
Man, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Teen Titans. Avatar was like so incredible.
Yes. I'm rewatching Avatar The Last Airbender
now. So good.
For the millionth time.
It's just so good. You can skip a few episodes in season one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you really can.
They even joke about it in the later seasons. They're like, the Great Divide. We can just fly over that. I mean, I loved like Pokemon, the show, and the, you know, there's just so much. I missed the Dragon Ball Z train for the most part.
You did. Okay.
Because there's a reason in Hawaii, like, for whatever reason, the time zones would make a difference. So usually Dragon Ball Z on the mainland would be playing at, like, you know, after school time. But in Hawaii, it was we're like 2-3 hours behind, depending on daylight savings time, because we don't do that there. Mm. And so it would be playing while I was in school. So gotcha. I just was always missing it. And
I see.
You know the show. You can't just watch one episode every once in a while.
No, no, no.
You'll be like, what's going on?
Yeah. It's just yelling.
It's impossible.
Why are they yelling?
Yeah.
They're just still yelling.
This has been pre-streaming. Man, that show needed to be streamed.
It really did.
Oh, yeah. So, I missed the boat on that. But, all the rest of the stuff, you know, you just watch and love.
Do you take any inspiration from any of those today?
I mean, yeah.
Everything?
Like,
all of it?
You I don't know, you grow up with it in your ear all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I have to, like, think about what a certain type of character sounds like, right? If I'm auditioning for something, I'm like, oh, this is, if it's a superhero thing, it's like, oh, this is just like, you know, Captain Atom. This is, that's like Booster Gold, easy. Yeah. That's like Batman, that's like whatever. Mm-hmm. So the archetypes, right? Like the kind of character that it is like super well influenced by the fact that I was just playing games and watching stuff growing up. So, you know, your old man anime voice is Master Roshi, you know, that's everybody's old man anime voice. Shout out Mike McFarland. Love you, brother.
Yeah, it's so when you're getting these auditions, you are pulling archetypes from other things that you have seen to influence how you're putting the character together.
Absolutely. Because once you understand kind of like, oh, okay, it feels like their description of the show is kind of based on this other show, right? Like once you've watched Naruto, it's like, how many of those archetypes?
We've got our shonen protagonist. Yeah. We've got our best friend.
You've got your lethargic mentor.
Yeah.
You got your pervy old man.
Yep.
Like you got all of the tsunderes and all. We got all of it.
Right. Exactly. So going to school, you took a acting class. You decided that that's where you were going to be. How did you then go into from regular on-camera acting to voice acting specifically?
So I had trained to do like acting in school and was working with like an indie film company, and then was doing like improvisation, and then was going into like stand-up comedy once our improv show shut down because I wanted to stay sharp, and I thought we were going to get another show, and then we never ended up getting another show. So it just kind of all cycled in. So it took me a while from acting to voice acting, but like that was sort of the journey that I went on in terms of like, you know, I do like working with this indie film company, but not as much as the performance stuff. And I think that's more of where I want to go. So the improv really helped with that.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people don't realize how important improv is.
Oh,
like,
man,
I moved to LA to do cosplay and was very unaware of the acting world when I first got here. And I was asked by a few people to do like some skits and stuff. And I got there and I was expecting like lines and scripts, and they were like, no, this is all just improv. And I was like, this is not a skill I have.
They
guys.
Didn't tell you that before you showed up.
No.
They were just like, yeah, come on down, be in my skit. And then they're like, hey, just riff about all
just
of this stuff.
Yeah. And I bombed. When I tell you, I was like, well, I'll do my best, but I was so nervous because I was like, I've never done this before.
Yeah, they set you up to fail.
Never improvised in my life, actually. So it's such an important skill that they were like, well, we figured that anyone in LA that's doing any type of acting has done improv because it's part of the curriculum. And I was like, bold of you to assume that I have done or am pursuing acting in general.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess that is to like people just wrap stuff up, right? Wrap things together. They're like, oh, social media, that's basically just like, you know, if you're an influencer, then you're you want to be an actor, right? Like what an assumption to make though. How ridiculous. But yeah, improv is a huge part of, I think it's just like for people who've never done improv before, I think it's important for everybody to try it out at the very least, because it gave me life skills and taught me so much about human interaction and like all of that stuff, that it really changed the course of my life for the better, I think. So Yeah, improv is one of those things that, like, if you can do it, if you know classes, I highly recommend anybody takes. And I mean, like as an improviser, as all of that stuff, like in the back of my head, I was like, I would love to like do cartoons and like do video games and all that stuff. I just didn't understand it. But you're building all these characters, you're trying out all these different things, you never know what's going to come your way. So I ended up developing all of these like skills that would then be helpful later on in voice acting. Mm-hmm. And then around 2015, 16, I was doing stand up at, I believe it was Anime Los Angeles. Shout out Danny Gonzalez for putting me up. Stand up, he was doing like anime stand up circuit, like all around. D-Boy is how what he went by. And he had done a show in Vegas where I met him. Mm-hmm. And then when I started doing stand up, he was like, hey, you want to come out? I met a guy named Ezra Weiss, who is the director of Miraculous Ladybug. He'd been doing a ton of different shows at the time and super nice guy, incredible. I went to go see his panel after my stand-up thing was over because he was doing like an improv panel and I missed it. Yeah. But afterwards, I went up to him and I said, so you're a voice actor, huh? He's like, yeah. He gave me a generous amount of time. And I said, I'm really interested in like learning how to get into that. What would the steps be? And he was like, well, are you from here? I said, nah, I'm in Vegas. He said, you should go and find like a studio or something and see if they have any advice. Call around, you know, see if you can get started in Vegas and then maybe make your way here. Most of the stuff is going to be here if you're here, but you can probably get started in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Now that I think about that was probably 2013 or 14. Mm-hmm. So I sat on that, did nothing with it.
Right.
Got busy. Yeah, uh-huh, of course. Uh-huh. And then out of nowhere, I was doing a show out here with a buddy of mine named Dan White, who had done some TV and stuff. And I found out that he was the voice of Pimp My Ride.
Oh, so he was, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. What a throwback, right?
I know.
Is anybody listening? Does anybody even remember that show? Anyways. So, yeah, he told me he'd done some video game work and all that stuff. So I was like, I thought you had to be famous to do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. How do I get started? Mm-hmm. He pointed me to a guy who pointed me to some people he'd worked with in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Shout out the voice actor studio. A lot of shout outs.
Keep them coming.
Yeah.
Give the flowers.
Exactly. So I went over to this place called the Voice Actor Studio in Vegas. Signed up for their 4-week intro course. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I am going to pursue this with literally everything I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I, by about 2017, the end of 2017, I was able to go full time doing commercial work and like e-learning work and like all that stuff. So mm-hmm. I'd learned a lot, after training with them for a couple of years.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest takeaway from traditional acting that you got from school that you have carried with you to voice acting?
Ooh, that's a good one. What's something that I learned in acting? That context is everything.
Mm.
That's the main one. And it becomes so much more important, right? Because in theater, in film, If I'm like a detective, with an old timey detective, I am wearing the jacket. I have the cigar in my hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to a person. But in voice acting, you have none of that. So I have to set that scene up,
mm-hmm.
and you know, figure out all the context, figure out like what's going on in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I pretend like I have a cigar in my hand and I'm talking to you, and then I continue on, right? Like
mm-hmm.
that stuff that. You need to utilize your imagination a lot more for voice acting, because if you don't, it'll just sound like you're reading some words in an emotion. And even if the emotion's great, if you don't know what the context is, right, mm-hmm. like you really are going to, you're not going to squeeze
connect.
As much juice out of the orange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Like if you're reading a line and your character's looking up, hopefully it translates if you actually look up when you're doing the line,
yeah,
as opposed to just reading the line and hoping that it sounds the same way.
Absolutely. You know? Or if my character's lifting up something heavy as they're talking, you know, mm-hmm. like, hey, it's time to go. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Right. Like it's you don't think to do that because you don't need to necessarily make a noise when you're acting.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. they can see that you're lifting up a sofa. They can see right. that you're doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And even just dynamics, like how loud or soft you are, right? If mm-hmm. I'm maybe talking to you and then like I'm looking around and I just want to, you know, make sure that nobody else can hear. Like just those things, you need to be able to imagine that you're doing them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like it's not going to, it's just going to sound like reading.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. A lot of what you're saying is resonating with me because I feel like I'm in my second year of voice acting classes. So
incredible.
This is all stuff that I'm hearing all the time. But
yeah.
the first class I ever took was an improv class with June Yoon.
Love June.
I love June too.
Yeah, he's the best.
And that was my I want to do this moment where
wow.
I took that online improv class with June and he was such an incredible instructor that I had so much fun
yeah.
that I was like, this is awesome. And then I started doing more courses obviously after that, but and now I'm doing one-on-ones, but the improv of it all was terrifying but so fun, like exciting, you know, the worlds that you create.
Yeah, on the spot, it's freeing,
really,
isn't
lean
it
into the cliche of it all. Yeah, it really is. It
and
really
that's is. Like the ultimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that like when you're free
mm-hmm.
and you're just like free from whatever it is, judgment or thinking about like how like what you want it to sound like, all of that stuff, I think that's when the best work is, and that's mm-hmm. That's the thing that improv gives,
right? Attempting to get as good as possible as fast as possible, which is what it sounds like you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the best pieces of advice that you got during that time?
So I started out in doing the corporate stuff because at that time, pre-2020,
mm-hmm.
the remote stuff really didn't exist outside of like
right.
LA wasn't doing remote, Dallas wasn't doing remote, New York wasn't doing remote. Like it was like you either live there or you don't.
Right.
And then when 2020 happened and everything got shut down, that's when I developed and really started all of the character work and all of the mm-hmm. video game and anime and animation. So I guess my question to you back is like,
mm-hmm.
do you mean from the corporate side perspective, or do you mean from more of the character LA kind of scene perspective?
Kind of both, because they're two kind of different skills
yeah.
that exist in the same world, right?
I guess within the commercial world and all of that, it was just understanding how much I could do, like how much power I had as just a marketer, right?
Mm.
Like you could actually just market yourself directly to clients, get yourself on rosters. And that was like a whole other, because from the acting perspective, most of the time you take an acting class or whatever it is, and they're like, this is how to act. Thanks for taking the class. See you next time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's not like, here's how to get the work.
Mm.
And that's what the Voice Actors Studio taught me, was
mm-hmm.
there's so much that you can do if you treat acting like an entrepreneurial endeavor as much as you treat it as a creative endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also be creative in how you treat it as an entrepreneurial endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like you totally get it, right? Like,
I absolutely get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways to crack the egg, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's figuring out your path in that. I don't know that anybody told this one to me, but this is one that I've developed over the years, which is like, when you go into business for yourself, you're going to leave money on the table somewhere, and you have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pressure when I started working for myself for the mm-hmm. first time ever at like 27
mm-hmm.
was like, oh God, every second I'm wasting it. And I'm
yeah.
like, and it just put this pressure on me, and I
yep.
was less productive
mm-hmm.
because it felt like if I'm not working every single second,
yeah.
then what am I doing? I'm leaving money on the table. And
yeah.
You gotta come to grips with that. And I wish I could remember his name, but there was a business guy who gave me great advice in a class. He said, don't think of it as networking and like clients and all that stuff. Just think of it as building relationships and making friends. And I was like, oh, that takes so much out, because when you go to a party or whatever and you're like, oh, I gotta go network and do all of this, you know what I mean? That's so much like, it's just like, what does that mean? What does that look like? But the second you're like, oh, I'm just going to a party to meet people and make friends. And if I work with them, awesome. And if I don't work with them, that's awesome too.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes it more fun.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have fun instead of, oh, I have to go work.
Exactly. So you're building relationships. So yeah, whenever anybody says, networking opportunities, I always try to give that little thing.
Reframe it
a little bit, because networking and like business connections, it's just also like, when you actually are working and you're actually in it, it's like, that's not real. Like, that's a kind of a thing, but that's more like, I don't know. It feels ickier.
It does.
That way, right?
It feels like there's a different intention behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like there's some ulterior motive to me coming up to somebody and talking to them. Yeah. So, I try to do away with that.
Yeah. And people remember who they enjoy talking to more, some might say. So it's better to just be yourself and have fun than anything else for that reason.
Yeah.
So I have a specific question for you. Since you did commercial first and then moved into character work, would you say that one of those came to you easier than the other? And I ask that because character work for me comes a lot easier because I grew up playing video games and I was so immersed in that world, like you said before. But right now I'm in classes specifically for commercial voice acting, and it is like banging my head against a wall trying to be trying to click with commercial. And I'm wondering if you are more attuned to one than the other in the beginning.
I think I got a hot take.
Okay.
I think so much of commercial is like actually easy.
Really?
I think there are so many coaches and teachers that have all of these like minute little like polishing details and all of these little things that you can do. But ultimately, I think that when people listen to it, they're just going to pick. I don't think anybody in the casting of commercials is like, ah, yes, they really swooped up at the end of that one. And I can really hear the hint of a smirk, not a smile, but a smirk. No. So it's like all these details are like, obviously, if you're paying somebody to coach you on it, they can't just be like, they gotta coach you on it. And I'm not saying that anybody can just walk up and go do it. There's obviously skills, right? It's just a different type of world, in the same way that, you know, Skyrim's world is different from Persona's world, even though they're video games, right? Like, it's just a different kind of world that you're living in, where people get much more happy about eating McDonald's. And then once you frame it in that way and you just go, okay, cool, well, this is like how I'm thinking about it, I try to usually simplify it for myself, and that's worked for me. There are many other people who prescribe to a much more like in-depth, like, oh, I can hear this thing, or I can hear these whatevers, and they're for sure like you have to learn like the way that it is and the way that sounds. So I listen to commercials a lot, and I listen to like e-learnings when I could, like, to get the general gist of it. And the thing is, it's like at the end of the day, there's so many people that are putting in the submissions for that. That it's like harder to book those for sure. Like, it is, because the numbers game is much higher. There's so many more people up for grabs in those commercial arenas that so I don't know. I think that that's an easier endeavor and an easier thing to learn, it's probably less comfortable to you. But mm-hmm. once the, you know, 8 to 10 different styles of reeds start yeah. clicking with you, you'll be like, oh, yeah, this Jaguar ad is just like this BMW ad. Oh, yeah, this Jack Daniels ad is just like this ad and that ad and that. And then you'll, once you know the archetypes of the commercials and like how you kind of, your best way of doing them, mm-hmm. then I think it's kind of, it starts to get a little repetitive. Memory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Commercial people will probably flame me for that. But it is a hot take. So, I mean, I'm putting it out there. I do think character overall is harder, but when you're used to the characters and all that stuff and you kind of know how it sounds, you just have that, you just have like, you know, years of
yeah.
of subconscious memory of yeah, when you see yeah, a character, yeah. you're uh-huh. like, I know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And we just weren't paying attention to commercials as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That is fair. That is fair. Is there a particular archetype that you enjoy doing the most?
Yeah, I mean, psychos are always fun. Like the unhinged psychos are always fun.
Every single person that I ask that question to always says villains. They're just, I think, more exciting.
I'm right? also going to say, though, as somebody who plays a lot of villains, I think it would be exciting to be on the other side of it mm-hmm. and play like a teen hero or something mm-hmm. because I never get to.
Oh,
I just don't sound like it.
Your voice is giving villain?
It's just, I don't even think it's that. I just think like, there are so many people that can do a better teenager sound than me, right? Uh-huh. And because of the nature of my voice, mm-hmm. even if those guys that are the protagonists of the different shows try to do the unhinged, like villainous, demon-y type of guys, it's like I probably, with my much weirder voice, will be able to hit those notes a little bit easier than they can. So. Yeah. That's what it comes to. It's like, what are some of the greatest hits of what I can do with what I have? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that all starts to kind of click into place as you move through the process.
Right. Do you have any roles that were your favorites so far?
Choosing a kid.
I was going to say, whenever I get asked that question as a cosplayer, you tell me if it's the same. It's whatever I did last, because I'm just the most excited about the thing I did.
That's the ADHD. Closest. Yes, that is the ADHD in me. I'm always like, whatever I just did was really
that
cool.
That was the thing. Yeah. That's what's on my mind right now.
I got to say Gyoko from Demon Slayer is a role that will always be special to me because I had watched the show and I loved the show first mm-hmm. Before I was even into any kind of voice acting. And it's probably the role I'm best known for now. And it allowed me the opportunity to go do cons and things like that. So mm-hmm. and meet these people who also enjoy the show and that I can nerd out with. So
yeah,
that role will always hold a special place in my heart. For that reason, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's hard to pick a
it's
favorite,
genuinely
favorite.
Hard to
and
pick,
he's a huge yeah. psycho, so it was really fun to play him.
Right. Did you enjoy the movie? The movie is huge.
It's so funny. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No. It's been busy.
That's fair.
I'm also in Hoppers, the Pixar movie.
Oh yeah.
And like background, I still haven't seen it. I've not seen it.
Listen, I showed up, I went to work, I went home.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's not fine. Like that. It's not. I do love Demon Slayer, but it's just like, man, I when season 4 came out, I was like, okay, I'm going to wait till it's all done, and mm-hmm. then I'm going to watch it all. Mm-hmm. And then I just keep procrastinating on it. Mm-hmm. I still haven't watched the final season, part 3 or 4 or whatever, really? Of Attack on Titan. And no I way. Love that show. Mm-hmm. I got to the end of part 2 and I was like, no, okay, I'll watch it when it's all done.
Right.
And then this episodes came out and then they were like, we're all done. And I was like, okay, I'll get to it eventually.
Eventually.
I'm just I procrastinate sometimes.
Listen,
on that
I get
stuff.
It. I yeah. do. I get it. When you watch yourself back in shows and movies and commercials, do you overanalyze the way that you sound? Are there moments where you're like, I wish they used a different take or anything like that?
Not really.
No?
No. How do you just mess soaking with perfection?
It in. Soaking it in.
How do you mess with perfection, America?
Right.
No. not like that. Not like that at all. I just, I'm at peace with what it is. And it's, and typically, like, it's a long time before I hear it back anyway. So mm-hmm. I don't really hold on to, like, those takes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, oh, I should have really. My memory just isn't. I don't have room in my brain for that.
I get that.
So, yeah. So it's like, oh, awesome to hear it. And most of the time, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that's me.
Yeah.
Like, I still get that. I still get that. I
really?
Can't believe that's
after
me.
After this long?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's how I know I'm doing the thing that brings me a lot of passion and something that I love is like, right. I still get excited mm-hmm. to like listen to something and be like, whoa, mm-hmm. that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What, how often would you say that you do in studio versus home studio work nowadays?
Nowadays, it's probably like 90% in studio.
In studio?
Yeah, thankfully.
Do you like that better? Is that more enjoyable?
No, I wish I could stay home. And I wish it was. I mean, dude, I'm going to say like 2020 to 2021 mm-hmm. when everything was closed and I could just like it was much more routine and I didn't have to go anywhere and I could schedule things one after another because it's like this is done. Now when I schedule things, it's like, OK, well, how far do I have to drive from there to there? OK, well, that'll be a 30 minutes. So what I'm giving my like avails or whatever. It's not like one like simple thing. It's just another layer of like stuff I got to think about is the mm-hmm. travel. But I don't mind it. And I do really love like seeing people in person. Mm-hmm. That is really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, shooting the shit with them a little bit after like it's just so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, being able to just schedule everything at home is like super sweet. That's right. Like that.
It's hard to be.
It's trade-offs. Yeah. It's trade-offs.
Uh-huh. I know what you mean. Back during COVID when all of even the cosplay gigs were all like, we'll just figure it out and post it.
Yeah.
It was really nice. But now the events are back. So we're wearing them to more conventions and stuff like that again. But it was a cute little break.
Yeah. And it's like, and that it's so much better. And that moment is so much more like, cool, I bet, because
fulfilling.
You're in a convention, you
yeah.
can feel the energy and it's yeah. all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you're back on the plane ride home and you're like, man, I'm tired.
I'm so tired.
Yeah. Whereas like in 2020, it was like, ooh, all right, did that thing. Got to play some video games.
You're right. Click the button off. We did it.
Yeah.
Take the wig off.
Mission accomplished.
Sit down.
We did it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My next question.
I love a question where you laugh before.
This is my first time reading through this part. how did you score the hottest, coolest wife of all time?
Oh, man. let's see. I just was myself.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. No networking.
No.
Did you just laugh from behind the curtain?
But it's true. She knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Just an online dating app.
Cute.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so sweet.
Online dating apps kill all the good stories.
No.
Like if this was 30 years ago, it would be like, well, I was skipping rocks down by the river, and then I saw this beautiful girl. Just
the train station was blowing
yeah.
her hair, the wind.
Yeah.
There was soft music,
yeah.
the live violin.
And I followed her home, and I knocked on her door.
I gazed upon her.
There was always
the
like a really weird, creepy moment in those
yeah.
stories, but it was always adorable,
yeah,
right? Because it
the
all
time.
Worked out.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes.
But now it's like, well, I swiped right and I saw this babe on my phone.
This hot piece of ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how about this? This is romantic. What about the dating profile drew you in? What were the vibes? What was exciting?
She had actually swiped right onto me.
Oh,
and uh-huh. as a male, that doesn't happen a lot. So but that wasn't it, right? Like, so I looked through and I was like, oh man, like there's a bit of a like age gap and I don't know. And I'm not sure. And like, I don't know. And I was thinking about it and I just said, what the heck? let's do it. Like,
let's try.
Yeah, because you never know what's mm-hmm. gonna lead you where. And like, that's the improv thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in another timeline, maybe I didn't say yes, and then all of this just doesn't happen for me, right?
Right.
So it's like I just kept an open mind. And then it wasn't the profile that was the thing. It was like when we met, it was just so easy to talk. Mm-hmm. And that's the most powerful thing in the world to me, is like when it feels like I could talk to this person for forever.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been like 7 years almost. We're coming up on 7 years together as a whole. And still not tired of talking to her.
Aww.
I just love, yeah, we just love each other's company, and like that instinct. So that's why I'm so open, is because it's like, you never know what's going to happen. And what's the worst thing that's going to happen? I just have a bad date.
Mm-hmm.
I've had plenty of those. I could put one more up there, but what if this is something cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
There were so many dates that I went on that the girl was nice and cool, but like it just felt like I was doing most of the talking.
Right.
And yeah. And it
felt like work.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. you'll throw the ball in their court.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, yeah, okay, yeah. And then it's like a two word answer, and you're like, all right.
All right.
And that's just, yeah.
So,
exactly.
What are we talking about? And what else? Yeah. Mm hmm. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful to have heard that exact same thing from both of you at separate times. Actually, it's very, very cute. You know, I'm hoping for that as well.
You'll find them
in the future.
You'll find them.
So your wife also wrote on here that yeah. Ratchet and Clank was the game that changed it all for you.
That was the game I thought was going to change it all for
oh,
me.
Oh yeah.
It's so funny. I mean, it did. It did. It did in a way.
Okay.
I mean, it was my first like AAA video game. Mm-hmm. I had high expectations because I was like, yo, this is my first AAA game.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is going to put me on the map. This is going to be like all of like everything. And then you do the job, and then it like takes so long for like the thing to come out.
Yes.
And so by that time, like after you do the job, like you've already done a bunch of other stuff, and then the game finally comes out, and then it's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I can finally announce it. And that was like a big moment to me. But it's odd because I've talked with like people that are a part of like the on-camera scene and space, right? And for mm-hmm. them, they almost treat y'all right?
There's a gnat on the microphone.
Oh, I hate that.
I was going to let it go.
No, don't.
But then we looked into each other's eyes
yeah,
and I had to kill it.
You had to.
But I missed. So he's still afoot somewhere.
He's
sorry, keep going.
The game is afoot now. But yeah, it's funny because you think like, oh, so much of the time in Hollywood, in the Hollywood space, you book like the big role on something and people go, oh, that's like one of those people. We got to get them in on like a session here because they did like a...
Mm-hmm.
But for voice acting, it's interesting because for the most part, it's like, unless it's like a really huge, like once in a lifetime type of deal, like you're one of the main three on Demon Slayer. You're mm-hmm. one of, you're Chainsaw Man or
mm-hmm.
any of the girls on Chainsaw Man or blah, 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 right? Any mm-hmm. of the big, big ones,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of just like... You're kind of just working and doing the thing, and you feel this sense of climbing, but it's not like one-to-one, oh, you were in Ratchet and Clank, and that's why I'm sending you this audition for this thing. Like, there's all kinds of different ways people can hear about you or hear of you, or somebody like a director recommends you for a certain thing, but it's not like Hollywood where it's like, all right, well, the next thing we're building on up and I saw you in that. So then you're now like a mainstay on this show. Like, it does and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned to like temper my expectations. Cause I thought like, oh, you book like the one big AAA game and then everybody knows who you, nah, it's still just work. It's still putting the work in and still hustling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you do to keep that momentum up when you do book something like that?
I just keep sending in auditions.
You just
like
keep going.
I just keep going. Mm-hmm. It's just you put your all, and some days you have more to put in, but whatever you have, you put into the next audition and the next audition and all of those. And it's like, thankfully I have a phenomenal agent, that is sending me a lot of different things and a lot of different, projects. And you know what? Like, I will backtrack a bit, because Ratchet and Clank, I got like a week in for, like, that was like a week into my being with this agent.
He
sent me that. Yeah. And I did it, booked the role, which is so rare.
Wow. Super that is rare. So rare.
That they hire so you for cool. the thing. Usually they like you and then they'll be like, okay, well, how much have they done? And then it's like, they haven't done a whole lot, so we'll put them in some like additional voices, and then maybe we can get them up. But it really did work out for me in that way, and I booked a few things out of the gate pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That then inspired them to keep sending me more stuff and more stuff, and now, I mean, I don't think that there's a single project that they get that they, as long as like it matches my voice, that they're not sending to me. So it's like, you know, to have that rapport with your agent is also very rare, but he's such a hustler and he's such like a hard worker that I'm always feeling like I don't want to let him down. I don't want to let myself down. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I keep in it. I mean, I don't take my eyes off the prize.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't let my life become like a measuring stick to anybody else's career, because certainly there are people that I've started out with that I've watched have meteoric rises where, and you can get to a point where you're like, man, why couldn't that be me? Why is that? Why I was doing that before he was even doing stuff. Why is he? But the second you do that, you're like foregoing. Like, there's flashes of that, certainly, right? I'm human.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing that everybody forgets is like, dude, but I also started with a ton of other people that I don't see no more.
Right.
That never did anything.
Right. And it is, you focus on the other
things. The few edge cases of the people who won the lottery.
Right.
That you don't realize how lucky you are that you have a career in the whole thing. So
right, exactly.
I think that like an attitude of gratitude, right, is just like so important to keep going in anything. Otherwise, it's so easy to get jaded and burnt out and look at everything you don't have. And it's like, I will attribute that to like my mindset. I think that I have a very positive outlook on a lot of things, and it's helped me out immensely in the long run.
Yeah, I think that's huge, especially in anything creative. It's going to be hard to keep it up if you are so hard on yourself all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in the cosplay world, there's also people who have meteoric rises.
Absolutely,
and people that you know that you're like, I remember when you started, you were my assistant or whatever. You know what I mean? Like in any kind of career, especially creative, like there are going to be those people that just hit the right thing at the right time.
Yeah.
But I'm more focused on like, dude, I get to work in like the best job in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shut up. Every time I'm like, my brain goes, me, I go, shut up. Dude, you're doing the best thing in the entire world. You have the audacity to think that dumb thought.
I'm imagining you talking to yourself in the mirror
a lot
during this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the one in the mirror has like a mustache or something.
Yes.
Like a fedora or something that you're like, like back, like, what
it's
are you
anti-Brent,
doing?
Anti-Brent, yeah.
Yeah, it's like black and white on one side. And yeah.
You're describing a detective, a 1920s detective.
A noir. Yeah, you got a cigar. Yeah. You're like...
Yeah.
Listen.
I slap a woman in the face. Listen, you. You better get your stuff together.
Don't think like that.
So. Yeah.
So when then did you move from Vegas to LA?
2022.
Okay.
So
right after COVID.
Yes. Okay. So during COVID, like, that was when all of the character stuff started for me. So I'm only about ish years into like all of the character things, and people mm-hmm. forget that. People think that people, when I moved here, people were like, hey, you came back. I'm like, I was never here.
Speaks to how well you fit into everything.
I guess so.
You're just meant to be here.
So yeah, in 2020, like everything went online. And before that, you know, like I said, pre 2020, there weren't classes online. There weren't like opportunities really online. And so I was taking a bus at the end of 2019, taking buses just to LA, just to take a class, flip around, come back at like 6 a.m. or whatever, sleep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I had saved a lot of money for classes and that, so I could lay groundwork. And then once I didn't need to do the transportation thing and 2020 opened up, I was like, this is a huge opportunity. Let me not waste it. Mm-hmm. And I poured all of that money into classes. And only good stuff came from it. My agent came from classes. So many casting director and director relationships I have now to this day started in classes and mm-hmm. them being like, who are you? And I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And by the end of COVID, when everything was starting to open back up, studios were starting to be like, hey, so you're coming in, right? And it was like, and I probably took somewhere in the realm of about 15 to 20 trips in course of like 3 or 4 months.
Whoa.
Because I didn't want to say no to anybody. If they said, hey, do you mind in studio? I never wanted to be like, a lot of them probably would have been okay with me asking for remote, but I was like, I'm
not going to risk it.
Not risking it, and mm-hmm. I'm building my way up to come to LA. And luckily, Donna, we had already pre-talked about it, like, hey, my end goal, I would really love to end up in LA. I don't know if it's going to happen, but mm-hmm. I think that that's where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I wanted to do was to move here without having any groundwork or any kind of anything set up beforehand. Mm-hmm. So yeah, by the time 2022 rolled around, it was like, no, there's a reason to be here now. Mm-hmm. There's like a real specific reason to be here. And we moved in August in the middle of the 2022 heat wave. So went from one desert and came here and was like, it's 100 degrees plus here too. I thought it would be better out here.
That's so funny because I moved here in August of 2024 and it was the weekend that there was a hurricane.
Oh.
Like the one hurricane ever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, August, I guess, not a great time.
No, I guess not. So what would you say nowadays in character work, in commercial work, how does improv prop you up for success in some of these auditions or when you're in the booth recording?
It's just the freedom. When you're by yourself, you get in your head a lot. Mm-hmm. Like when you have to do your auditions and almost all the auditions, like if people don't know, like it is by yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have somebody to work off of.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to analyze it first, and that's not really the improv-y part, but then throwing away the homework. The way I say it is do your homework. Create the context, like have an idea of where you want the scene to kind of go, and mm-hmm. then crumple it up into a ball, throw it away, and then do the read. Mm-hmm. So that helps immensely with like getting out of my own head and mm-hmm. doing all. Yeah.
What homework do you do when you audition?
I'm looking for context. I'm looking for dynamics in the read so that it's not all sounding exactly the same. I'm looking for any place where I can put in sonic physicality where it's like, oh, could my character be drinking something here? Could he be lifting something? Maybe he's looking at a book and he's not really paying attention, right? As he's, mm-hmm. Thumbing through the pages or whatever. Maybe he licks his finger at a certain point and is like, you know, to showcase like what it is that I'm trying to set the scene with. So mm-hmm. I do all of that work and then I let it be. So I live in the imagination of it all now that I can see it as plainly as if I was doing it in a theater show or, on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just let it rip from there.
Mm-hmm. How many takes do you normally do when you do an audition?
There's no normal. Sometimes it's one. Sometimes it's one and I'm like,
crushed it.
That felt incredible. Uh-huh. And it's like, Let me listen back. All right. Let me go grab a drink or something. Come back in, listen to it one more time before I send it off. Or sometimes I'll give myself more time if it's like a big audition that's due on like, you know, Monday. Maybe I'll do it on Friday and do a pass, and I'll be whatever I feel. Listen back to it on Sunday and be like, okay, now that I've been away from it for a while, I know that I can hear like certain things. Or I listen back to it and I'm like, no, yeah, that's it. Boom. Hit send. Yeah. So yeah, it's I try not to do too many takes because I do feel like sometimes the magic gets lost the more that you do the thing.
Yeah, you start to spiral kind of in your own head.
You overthink.
Yeah,
and that's the enemy of creation, I think.
I think so too, definitely. Are you able to improv when you're reading lines, or is it, are there more times when you're in studio with the director and they want it to be line perfect?
Usually it's line perfect for like, especially when it's like anime, right? Where you only have a certain amount of flaps for the lips.
Okay.
Like you can't be improvising and then your character's not even, lips aren't even open.
Right.
Video
right.
games, they mostly want it to stay pretty strict as well. Some clients are going to be more free than others. Animation is where you kind of can have a little more freedom with it. But even then, it's like you don't want to go too over because it's like so many cartoons now are like 15 minutes long. With commercials, that means it's actually 11 or 12 minutes long. So it's like if I'm spending all this time riffing, it's like it's cutting into the time. They're already like cutting jokes and cutting things. What I tell students and what I tell people is like, you can improvise the noises and the things. Like maybe I, you know, if it's a running thing, I'll set it up just a little bit. All right. Well, cool. And I'll improvise like that stuff around like those ideas as opposed to improvising words.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you audition, how often do you do that sort of pre-life?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot, because I feel like it helps set up the scene. And typically it's like, yeah, if I think that there's something that will help set up the scene and set me apart from other people at the same time, I think that that's an overall win, because most people aren't going to do that. And most people aren't thinking in that way.
Yeah.
So
I've heard both. I've heard people say add pre-life, it will set you apart. It will help contextualize and all of that stuff. And then I've also heard people say the casting directors want it to be the way that it is, and you should do the pre-life and then you should cut it out before you send it. And so it seems like there's no right or wrong answer.
It's a nuanced argument.
You feel. Yeah, exactly.
If it contributes to the story in some way, then yeah, put it in. But if you're just like putting in some pre-life just to help you get into the mode.
Right.
Well, don't put that in, because it's like, if it services the story, we're ultimately trying to service the greater good of it all, right? So that's when I'm like, yeah, I think that me setting this scene will paint a clearer picture of what I believe the scene to be and paint the picture clearer for them. And people describe it in all different ways. They usually say like, wow, you really just know how to make the words come to life, or like take the words off the page.
Yeah,
and I'm just
yeah.
like, yeah, because so much of it is what's not said in everyday life. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I think that all art is nuanced in that way.
Yeah.
Right. So because this is a cosplay created podcast, have you ever dressed up as one of the characters that you have voiced?
No. Well, no? I mean,
I have it on your wife's word here that there might be one.
Yes. There's a Netflix show called Chicken Nugget.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That it's a Korean drama that was based off of a webtoon. And it's the first lead role that I've really ever gotten. It's an incredible show. Super funny, super heartfelt. And I was like, I'm just so excited about this. Let me like take a picture as this character. But it's not like I went out to like a con and did a whole thing. I did that, but like,
you're a liar.
I mean, the Squid Game thing.
Yeah, but it's not like I went anywhere with it. It's not like
I wish I had a camera right here.
Yeah.
Your Squid Games character.
Yeah.
You also dressed up as.
Yeah. Squid Games season 2. I voiced number 7, the guy with his mom.
And that was what I had on here. But also you said Chicken Nugget.
Chicken Nugget is another show. But I never have, in terms of like going to like an event and dressing up like it, I have not done that.
Right. Do you have any interest in that by chance?
I'm not going to lie. Not typically, but I mean, like, if the right opportunity were to present itself, I would say yes in a heartbeat. For the same reason of all of the everything. I'm just a
giving
yes and
a
kind
shot.
Of guy.
Yeah. And that is a great way to be, I would say.
Agreed.
Especially in Los Angeles, because you never know what the hell is going to happen.
Exactly.
And it's very fun.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's never boring.
So cosplayers, if any of you are like, man, I want to dress that guy up and make him like a really dope outfit of, I don't know, who I would be, what character you would want. I'm down. Hit me up. Let me know.
I know some people.
Yeah?
I know some people. some grafters. Well, thank you so much for being here. We're going to transition to our Patreon paywall section.
Oh, perfect.
But before we do that, where can everybody find you online?
You can find me at which camera? This camera?
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? You can find me at Brent Mukai, BrentMukai, across all social media. Come and find me.
Come
Hit
and
me
find
up.
Him.
Come dress
and
me up.
And what projects do you have coming up that you're excited about that you can talk about?
That's the thing. You can't really talk about them until they come out. That's
I
the
know.
Only upsetting part. Like, it's crazy to me because it's all like full circle. I'm talking about like Ezra Weiss, right? Earlier on is like the first guy. I literally worked with him today in studio doing like this project for a dub. And it's like, it's crazy how these things all kind of come around. Some of the most recent things that I'm in, Ghost of Yote. Sorry, I thought it was more than one. Ghost of Yote, Hoppers. I did Loop Group, which is like a lot of background characters. So if you're like, who are you? I don't know. It's just a random smattering. Let's see. What else? Gachiakuda, Kaiju number 8. Are like
just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
look
around. You'll be there.
Absolutely. Don't look. Listen.
Yeah, there you
listen
go.
Listen around. You won't
listen
see me
around.
Nowhere.
And that's the beauty of voice acting, everybody. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time. And you happen to have cats and dogs. Are you
two cats, two dogs?
Cat person or dog person or both?
Well,